Well, who's been liking our Why We Do That series? Yeah? I've been liking it. I think there's been some awesome messages so far. And tonight, I don't think we'll be any exception. And tonight, we get to hear from none other than Rico. So why don't you give a massive clap?
Let's move. Well, welcome to church, everybody. I want to say welcome to my Windsor High guys. You know, I noticed while we were worshiping, we're representing tonight. A few Windsor High guys, and it's been a couple years, man, but you guys are looking good. You guys are looking good. And, you know, it'll make sense why I'm trying to welcome you a bit special tonight in just a second. Well, we are speaking tonight. Why we do that? We're speaking about huddles, and man, I'm super keen to share. I've been in prayer, I've been speaking to Jesse, and I just feel super passionate about this process, why we do it, what it is, and I'm keen to get into it. But first, a bit of a story for the boys, all right? To set the scene, it's 2020. I'm in year 10. It feels really silly to say because, like, it's like 3.5 years ago for me now, but I don't know, I feel like an old head saying, like, back in high school, right, I had a group, and me and my group, we loved sport. I've always been into my music, right, but my group had every kind of sport going in it. We had one friend that played AFL, we had one friend that played cricket, another that played footy, another that played rep soccer. We had everything going on, every single sport, right, and I had this one friend, his name is Ben Barrett, and a few of you might have met him. Yeah, Riley knows who Ben is. And Ben used to do jiu-jitsu, right? Yeah, interesting. Not your average sport. But guess what? So did I. I also did jiu-jitsu, right? And so Ben and I were training jiu-jitsu through the week. And, you know, we really clicked that little bit extra because we were both doing jiu-jitsu. And we would find great times to practice. I remember English, every, like, third lesson, who loves English? Every third lesson, we had a reading lesson, which is great. I used to read the Minecraft books, which is just like tutorials on like how to build stuff. Either that or play Clash of Clans. But, right, so come the end of the class, about 10 minutes before the bell, and I'm sure you Windsor High guys know this well, there's no more reading. 10 minutes ago, bell's about to ring. It's pack up, get up, have a chat, right? Put your bag on your back, swing around a bit. Talk to the boys. Right, but what Ben and I loved to do was find our way to the back of the classroom to practice our little jiu-jitsu skills. Right, we'd be at the back on the floor trying out new type of armbar, right? Next minute we're like, okay, bro, how do I pass this guard? Oh, yeah. Right, and then the bell would go. But our English lessons always had a little jiu-jitsu at the end, right? And Ben and I competed really well. We are similar sizes, you know, our friends, footy players, AFL players, and me and Ben, we were jiu-jitsu guys because, you know, we were smaller than everyone else. But it was great for us because we competed against each other really well. We were always super tight in any competition that we had. And this becomes useful soon. Now, around this same time, I had this really great school routine. Who's got a school routine? Yeah? Something that you just, every day, you know, you get home, you're like, I need to do that. Right? And my thing, and even if you work, right, it might be sleep, it might be food. I think food's a big one for most people. I think everyone could agree on that. But you have those things that you just go home, you're like, man, I need to do that. And what I had done was I had disciplined myself to make my routine to read one chapter of my Bible when I got home. Right? So before I could scroll through TikTok or before I could binge watch my YouTube videos or, you know, see what Ninja did that day, I made sure that I was reading my Bible, and to clarify, I actually wasn't reading my Bible. I used to have the Bible read itself to me. So, yeah, for those of you who don't know, the YouVersion app, it has this feature where you can click into any chapter and... Chapter 11. It's got music and stuff.
Is the confidence that what we hope for...
Anyway, it sounds mid right now, but yeah, it's fine. It's really useful, right, for busy people like me, or maybe you're not such a confident reader, but yeah, I love this feature, and I used to use it every day, and it was my way of making sure that I got the word into me every day. And so I usually did this while I made 2-minute noodles. yeah, that was my afternoon snack, 2 minute noodles. And yeah, it was just a great feature. Anyway, after I'd finished my chapter, and after I'd finished my noodles and said a little prayer, it was time. And for me, it was time to binge watch YouTube for the rest of the day. Right up until that moment where you hear those famous words, dinner's ready. Right, that was my routine. I would read my Bible, and then I would binge watch YouTube videos. And I'm talking everything. Who knows Lachlan? Lachlan that plays Fortnite? Oh, yeah, okay. Maybe I'm getting old. I used to watch that. I used to watch a few SAS videos. I used to watch a bit of Bear Grylls. Who likes Bear Grylls videos? I 100%. I used to, like, go in the backyard, get, like, a pocket knife, and, like, try and make a spear or something. Right? I would watch those time lapses. Of the primitive dudes that would build like full spa and pool facilities, like fully functioning out of like mud, sticks, and hay. And I loved it. I loved it. I was 16, but I loved it. Right. And something that I really loved to watch was random Guinness World Records. Right. Yeah. And I mean, people setting records for things that you would never think you could be awarded for. Things like, I've got a few examples here. The farthest washing machine throw by a pair. This is an actual record. This is a dead set thing, right? Another, the most pistol squats on a Swiss ball in an hour. Yeah. So someone has dedicated weeks and weeks and weeks of training. They've paid for someone to come out and make sure that they're doing the record straight for the most pistol squats on a Swiss ball in an hour, right? All these crazy awards, and probably the most random, the heaviest vehicle pulled by a rice bowl suction on the stomach. Yeah, I don't even know how that works, but I read it and I was like, yeah, that's the weirdest one for sure. But one of these records that I came across, I'd like to bring to the table tonight, right? And this record is for the most consecutive tandem push-ups. Yeah, and before we get into it, I just want to apologize because it seems that push-ups are a thing of the Lord because, you know, something about sharing and push-ups, that God's in it. God's in it. I'm telling you, maybe we can have a night of why we do that push-ups. But to explain, right, a tandem push-up is a push-up that doesn't involve legs, right? It's a two-person push-up, and it has no legs in it. So what you essentially have to do is you have to find someone that's a similar size to you. You're on the ground. You throw your legs onto the other person's back. The other person wraps their legs around you. And then you do push-ups, right? And at the time of seeing this video, the record was it was something that wasn't that crazy. I remember it being something like 19 or like 29, and I can't exactly remember what it was, but I remember thinking in my mind, man, this is reachable. Mate, even perhaps achievable. A world record. Might I just say beatable? Now, remember that friend Ben that I had? Yeah, we were similar sizes, man. And so we had to try it. We had legs, we had arms. Let's see how we went. I'm cracking up already. All right.
Down. At some point, it's just down. A real thing.
Oh, my God.
Is that it?
I think so.
Let's go. That was our world record attempt. You know, every journey starts with one step. It's either day one or, wait, it's either one day or day one, baby. Let's go. All right, I think our best in the end was something like 5. We did off camera, but we did like 5. And I've also got this video that I found of Elijah and I doing. I was looking for that Ben video, and I just found this too. So we just got that playing. And I think we get one extra. Oh, great form. Great form. I'm sure Matt would approve.
3. 4.
Oi. All right, and so before we get into the message, here's the challenge, right? And I could have showed you the world record attempt, but I purposely showed you some videos of me doing it so that it makes it more believable, I guess. And so what I'm going to need is a few brave volunteers and, hey, a few wins of high boys out there. So, a few volunteers. Come on, up the front. You need a pair. So you need someone that is a similar size to you. Yeah, come on, boys, come up. We can have as many people involved in this as well. Not just boys. Come on, surely there's some girls out there. Surely there's some girls. All right, we're looking good. Come up on the stage. Come on, anyone else? Andre and Jake, I'm seeing you. Come on, girls, yep. Come try it. All right. All right, feel free at any point if you're like, I could do better, then be my guest. Come up, come up. All right. So guys, you saw it. Give it a try, all right? Make space. And if any of you can do more than zero, so if you can do one, I'll organize a prize for you, okay? Okay, cool. So get in your pairs, try it out. And if you're judging, come try it yourself, all right? All right, let's see. Good job. You put me to shame. Probably should have got them to go last, but... Oh, good. All right, boys, stay up. How many was that? 13. Solid. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, I think currently the world record is 43. Yeah, so... that's why I didn't hire them. That's why I didn't send the message out. We'll see. All right, boys, you ready to try? All right. Let's push. Feel free to, this doesn't have to be an individual thing. You guys can practice quickly before you do your attempt. All right. Yeah, the boys. Okay, good job. All right, you ready? It's the brothers. All right, why don't you come this way off the thing. All right, let's set it up and see how we go. Very nice. So, all right, we got girl power on the end. So, come on. Send yourselves. Let's hear it for the girls. This looks like some weird yoga class at the moment, eh? But, all right, you ready? Wrap your leg. All right, the boys with a clean win. Why don't you give them? You guys can take your seat. Good job. I'll organize you guys something. Thank you for trying that unbelievable task. All right. Well, with that out of the way, I think it's time that we start chatting. So quickly before I speak, I just want to pray. So why don't we pray? Father God, I just lift up tonight to you. God, I pray that your word would sit here heavy with us. God, that we would feel the burden of the mission that you call us to go on. God, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart. And I pray that my words would not be mine, but be yours. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we're talking about huddles. And more specifically, why we huddle. Why we do that. And to answer this question, we first need some context. We need to look at the bigger picture. Now, I just want to clarify that this is a message where note-taking may help you very much so. Because you've got a fair chunk of theory. Who loves theory? Yeah, again, no hands. Oh, that's crazy. but yeah, you've got a bit of theory coming your way, and it might be confusing at first, but the reason that we need to talk about this is because to understand our why, we first need to understand our what. Right? In other words, before we can understand the heart behind the things we do, we first need to be clear about what we're actually doing. Does that make sense? Yeah? Great. Okay. So, what is a huddle? For context, within our church, we have discipleship structures and terminology in place that as a leadership team, we use to articulate and name spaces and groups of people that are gathering. So to answer this question, what is a huddle? We first need to cover some terminology. Terminology. Feels like a big word for a carpenter. Right? There's three words that you're going to need to understand and break down the question, what is a huddle? Right? The first word is mentor. Oh. First word is mentee slash worker. The next word is a mentor. And the third word or phrase is a person of peace. So let's break this down. Let's see what order it is in before I start. Yeah, all right. A mentor, right? So a mentor is someone who has been trained and discipled to be more like Jesus and who is currently discipling one or multiple of their people of peace, right? And, you know, a lot of people have grown up or heard this term in another way, and that is usually in the word of a leader, right? A leader, a mentor. Right, the next one is a mentee slash worker. Now, a mentee slash worker is one or two things. Someone who is being discipled and or someone who is doing a work for the Lord, who is running something like a Connect, right? A Connect is an example of a work that you can do for the Lord, right? And the third word is a person of peace. Now, a person of peace is someone that wants to be mentored by you or a person that you want to be mentored by to help you be more like Jesus, right? I want to clarify that a person of peace relationship goes two ways. It's like dating. Yeah, ooh. It's like dating. Dating ain't a one-way thing, is it? No? Great, it shouldn't be. Well, you don't go up to a girl and be like, yo, you're my girlfriend now. You know, you don't do that. You're, hey, you're my boy. Like, it doesn't work like that. You know, it involves asking. It involves a two-way relationship, right? Here in church, we don't believe in social engineering. We believe in organic relationship and discipleship. You know, Elijah didn't tell me, hey, you're my person of peace. I'm gonna huddle you. You know, when he asked me to be huddled, he came up to me and he was like, hey, man, like, you know, I really want to get alongside you. And if that's something that you'd be interested in, that'd be great. You know, take some time and get back to me. And that's something that I went away, I thought about, I prayed about, and that I later accepted because Elijah was and is a person of peace to me. Someone that I want to be mentored by in the ways of the Lord. Right? And so that's our three words. A mentee slash worker, or the other way around if it's up there. A mentor and a person of peace. Right, you got that? Good. All right, right. We also have four main spaces. Now, these four main spaces are frontiers, connects and works, huddles, and oikoses. Confusing, right? Each of these spaces look different and have different purposes. Now, let's start with frontiers. These are physical places in your life that do not yet have the kingdom established in them. Places that need Jesus. This is where you start your work. Examples are simple. Your workplace, your school, right? Your local park or your community. And one that we don't often talk about, your frontier could very much be your home. Maybe your home needs Jesus, right? Our second space is a connect slash work. See what I mean by the note taking might help, right? So a connect slash work. These are authentic and fun spaces with the primary purpose of building a sense of family and belonging in an organic way to find people of peace, right? Examples of works and connects include like gathering to play a sport or like going for a picnic. Or maybe it's like what I like to do on a Sunday afternoon, go indoor rock climbing with all the boys from church. You know, it's connecting, it's just hangs, it's good vibes. There isn't teaching in this space, but your intent in this space is to be looking for people of peace, right? A third space is a huddle. Right, and a huddle, and this little sneak peek into what we're going to talk about tonight, is a space specifically for training, to learn or teach the basics of what it means to be a Christian, and to learn about the fundamentals of Christianity, to go on a journey to be more like Jesus. And our final space is an oikos. Now, a lot of us just call this like a family dinner night, but the proper name is an oikos, right? And an oikos is a gathering that brings people together, that brings all of our, huddle and connects together as one big extended family. And the oikos purpose is to do life with each other. So to practically give you an example of what this might look like, on a Thursday night, right, we have been gathering to play basketball. And I'll just, a little spiel of what it looks like. We gather at the IGA Biopark from 6:30 till 8 p.m. We get the hot chips from the Tastefy, whatever it is there. We get the Cokes. I got this big speaker for my 19th. Honestly, it's probably the best gift I've ever gotten. We bring that, we pump it, right up until noise restrictions. And we just hang, right? And to use that those spaces, or name those spaces within that example, the frontier within this basketball thing that we're doing is South Windsor, right? It's my community, right? The connect or work that we're doing is basketball itself, right? That is what we're using. That's the vessel that we're using to come together, to hang, to connect with each other, to build relationship, to become like a family, right? And a huddle, although we're not currently in this space, eventually it will evolve. Anyone that wants to be mentored or discipled by me in the basics of what it means to be a Christian, or the fundamentals of Christianity, those who want to learn more about Jesus. And right, the oikos is showing up to our weekly services together, and muster, which is our monthly family dinner that we do at the Hawkesbury Church. And it's here that our huddles and connects and people gather over a meal as one big extended family, right? And then to example our three names, right? Pretty simple. The mentor would be Elijah, right? He's my mentor, right? The worker is me, right? I'm doing something to try and connect to create a sense of family within my frontier. And the person of peace would just be anyone that wants to be mentored by me. And it's that simple. So how are you feeling? That's all our theory. With those three terms and those four spaces, we now have enough base knowledge of our discipling processes to start discussing our why. We're ready to discuss the heart, the practicability, the reasons behind why we have these processes. But specifically tonight, we're talking about huddles. Right? Cool? You ready? Sweet. All right, why do we huddle? To remind you, a huddle is a space specifically for training, a space to learn or teach the fundamentals of Christianity and the basics of what it means to be a Christian, to be more like Jesus. In this space is covered all the basic tools to help you in your journey with and towards God. Another simple way to describe a huddle is that it is a group of people who go on a journey together to understand who they are and who Jesus is, allowing Christ's truth to transform their lives along the way. One of the benefits of a huddle is that it's relational. It creates opportunity for conversations, to talk about struggles, to talk about spiritual victories, right? To have accountability, right? To have a role model in your life to be like, hey man, come on. I don't think that's such a great idea. Or hey, I know that person hurt you like that and that your anger is super justifiable, but what do you think Jesus would want you to do with this situation? Mentorship allows for role models that we personally respect to be involved in our lives and to help us, to help guide us along our walk with our Heavenly Father. I remember when I first started being huddled, right? We went over a lot of the topics that we've been speaking about this term. You know, this term is all about simplifying the things, breaking it down to our core whys. Why do we do that? Well, what is that? But why? Why? Why should I do that? And I remember some of the questions that we used to speak about were simple things like, you know, what is the Bible? Who wrote it? And why is it important or even relevant to my life today? I would ask, you know, why should I pray? And if I do pray, then what should that look like? But you also have the opportunity to go into deeper things, deeper questions. Like, what did Jesus' death actually achieve? Practically, what did Jesus' death actually achieve? Or if God really exists, why is there still pain and suffering in the world? And these were really pivotal times for me, because if these questions that I had in my life remained unanswered and they weren't met with any solid spirit-led answers, then who's to say that I'd still be here today? Which leads me to my first point. The reason we huddle is because God calls us to go deep, to grow deep. Without a firm foundation and deep roots, our Christianity is subject to the many storms that life will throw at us. You know, this is an example to Matthew 7:24-27. It says, Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds their house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. In this parable, the house represents us as individuals and our faith. It is a story that represents that when we don't have Jesus' teaching established in our lives, we are like a house built on sand. Perhaps we may be able to withstand a few blows, you know, a few hits, a few hurts, even a few small temptations. But without Jesus' solid foundation, like the house, when the going gets tough, when the world gets really, really loud, when my friends' voices and what I see on TV starts to roar louder than God's voice in my mind, and I go from, man, trying to remember what God says about me, to not remembering what God says about me, our faith is bound to collapse with a mighty crash. Right? This is also exampled in another parable in Mark 4, right? And this parable is called The Farmer Sows Seed. And it goes like this. Verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. So other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted. They grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as what had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And for those of you who have heard that parable and understand it, great, thumbs up. Right, but for those of you who haven't, right, and this might be the first time that you've heard it, I could do my best to give you an explanation, right? But why would I? Because just a few verses later, Jesus explains it himself. Right, and just a side note, a great tip with the Bible, right? Often we find ourselves confused with the meaning of Scripture because we nitpick verses out of a chapter, or we nitpick a verse out of a book, right? But Scripture often makes so much more sense when it's read with perspective and when it's read within context. And such is the case here with this parable, because yes, just a few verses later, Jesus explains it. It goes like this. Verse 10. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. And Jesus explained it like this. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So the farmer represents those who spread God's message, right? The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Right? That's what we're speaking about tonight. Having deep roots so that when these moments come, we stand the storm. Where am I up to? 18. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's message and produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as what had been planted. Huddle is a space for us to be tending to the soil of our hearts, and for us to be able to learn how to align our lives to be built on the rock that is Jesus and his teachings. The learning and equipping that we gain from being huddled deepens the roots of our faith and brands our identity with Jesus' truth. I'm going to say that again. The learning and equipping that we gain from being huddled deepens the roots of our faith and brands our identity with Jesus' truth. So the first reason we huddle is so that the roots and the foundations of our faith are strong enough to survive the storms that life will inevitably throw at us. We are called to go deep. That brings me to my second point. The second reason we huddle is to establish accountability and to spread the gospel message, right? We huddle so that we have accountability and so that we might spread God's message. Huddles are meant to be seasonal, right? Which is something that isn't always understood, right? They're seasonal. They're not intended to be a forever space. The aim of a huddle is that one day, after you've been trained and you've established yourself in Christ, that you would go on to share what you've learned. The extent, this is just in life in general, the extent of one's knowledge, I've found, is often really tested by their ability to teach. Right, this is so evident in my career. I'm a carpenter, right? And so everything I've learned, I learned from a tradesman as an apprentice, right? And coming to the end of my apprenticeship, I'm starting to have to teach people as well. And something that I've learned is that it's one thing for me to know how to put a house up, right? How to do carpentry well, how to make sure things are safe, this and that, right? But it's a completely different thing for me to try and teach someone else that. It's a completely different ballgame. However, I found that often teaching other people just further refines my skill and my knowledge when it comes to carpentry. And the same is with discipleship. In my experience, it's not uncommon to realize that while preaching or teaching, you often realize that you're preaching to yourself or that you're having to heart check yourself because you're like, man, what I'm saying, you know, I actually need to work on too. And so as flawed human beings, you and I, it can be hard sometimes to additionally try and lead other people as well. You know, it can be hard to hold ourselves together, let alone to try and lead other people. But that is why we have what is called a two-hat huddle. So a one-hat huddle is about equipping yourself, and a two-hat huddle is about your ability to teach others and pass on what you've learned. It's about allowing someone into our lives, a role model. For me, right, that's Elijah, to example and guide us through leading people well and passing on what we've learned. And to expand on this thought of us being imperfect leaders, a huddle space is in place to keep us accountable to someone about what we're actually teaching. Now, I might trigger some people in saying this, right? Might need some TPM or something after this, or might hold on to it till forever free, but please don't. But I got a question, and I just want to know, who here has ever spoken to, you know, a special kind of human that we like to call a know-it-all? Yeah, hands raised. Ooh, a know-it-all. You know, triggered? You feel triggered? I feel triggered. No, I'm kidding. But no judgment at all, because honestly, we've probably all been these people before. I know I have. I've thought I knew, and I definitely didn't, and I've been shamed in the process. So no judgment at all. You know, something that my mom taught me, just a side thing, is that church is not a place for perfect people, but it's actually a place for people that know they're not perfect but want to be better. Like, they want to be more like Jesus. So no judgment, but yeah, who's ever spoken to a know-it-all? I know I have, and I know I've been that guy too. Yes, we know this special kind of human that is just so confident in every facet of creation and existence itself. You know, and something that I found with these kind of people is that they're often really easily identifiable by the contradiction in their arguments or their statements. Right? And maybe you've experienced a sense of confusion when someone says something or two things that just didn't add up. Right? Well, these are the exact people that we don't want to be. Right? But especially when it comes to teaching about the things of Christ. Nowadays, the world wants us, would tell us that the truth is defined by feelings. And what you think or your experience or what you need to hear will be called to feel accepted. But Jesus makes it clear to us that his word alone is the truth. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If we want to be teachers for Christ, then Jesus' word is the truth that we need to assure that we don't start drifting from. Because you know what that's called? That's called false teaching, right? Anything that starts to disalign itself with Jesus' truth, it's false teaching, right? And huddle is the tool that brings accountability, that keeps our teaching aligned with Jesus's. So yes, huddles are where we learn of what it means to follow Christ. But the hope is that the season will shift to one of teaching and that the huddle space would remain to keep accountability. All right. And my third and my last point, for why we huddle is because we are called to disciple the nations. In Matthew 28, we find the Great Commission, verse 16 to 20. I can just get the band up if that's all right. In verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age.'" You know, we huddle because God did not ask us to bathe in our salvation point. He did not call us to remain there. We huddle because discipleship making is direct obedience to God, and it's our response to Jesus' call, right? We are called to make disciples of all nations, right? And that includes Australia, right? That includes New South Wales, and that includes the Hawkesbury, the mountains, the Penrith. You know, that goes right down to including your next door neighbor. That includes your work colleagues, your friends, right? Your school friends. And I'm sorry to say this, but it even includes that one person that every time they're with you, they just seem to find a way to get on your nerve. Right? It includes them too because they're God's children as well. Like a thief in the night, the word says that Jesus will return. Like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 verse 1 to verse 11. It says, "Now brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on pregnant women, and they will not escape." Verse 4. "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness, so this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as our breastplate, and the hope of salvation as our helmet. For God did not anoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as in fact you are doing." You know, today the Spirit cries, "Christian, you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, wake up." In Matthew 28, we read, "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." You know, the end is something that we don't often think about, something that we push to the back of our minds. But we need to realize that it will indeed come for each and every one of us. And when it does, that's it. What's done is done. Not that's it as in there's nothing further, but what we did here on earth, what we did with our life, that's set in stone. Now, I have no doubt of my salvation. I have no doubt. And that's not a confidence about anything to do with myself, but that's a certainty about the free gift of grace that God gave us through his Son, right? Through the crucifixion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But man, when I get there, I have no doubt about my salvation, right? That after this life, that I will see the Father, that I will enter heaven, right? But man, when I get there, I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to wish that I had have done more. Done more to see the people around me, to see them enter this eternal life. I don't want to enter the gates of heaven thinking maybe I should have done more to see my neighbor's son reach for Jesus, because then maybe he would be here entering with me today. And that's the mentality that we have to have. Because this is our reality, that this is it. We get one shot at this thing, one chance at this life. Because once all the cards are dealt, we won't have an opportunity for a do-over. The end of verse 20, Matthew 28, it says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And surely I'm with you always." He is with you. He is right here. That is his promise. Right? He has called us to go, but he is right by your side. He's not called us to go alone. You know, in line with our vision statement, we are called to disciple the nations. To one day see our nation strong for God. And you know, what we need to be a strong nation, do you know what we need for that? We need strong churches. And you know what we need to have strong churches? We need strong families. And to have strong families, we need strong individuals. Strong men and women for God. That is why we huddle. Because huddle is our best vehicle for helping people become strong men and women for God. Well, we're not going to do breakouts tonight. And we're not going to do an altar call, although feel welcome if you feel called to do so. But I just want us to have a time of reflection, right? So whether you've been huddled, or you're huddling, or you haven't been huddled, or this is the first time that you've ever even heard about the concept, would you consider all of this? Would you bear the weight of the mission laid before us? Would you allow God to start breaking your heart for what breaks his? And I would just warn you that that is a heavy prayer to pray. Because if you allow him to do that, man, you won't see the world the same way. Man, you won't see your workplace the same way. You will not go to school feeling the same way. You will not look at that person that hurt you the same way. Why don't we stand? You know, regardless of where you are, or where you've been, or where you find yourself tonight, we're going to sing a song. And I just want to allow space. We've been talking about this space, right? This space for God. This space for God to speak. I think, you know, the other half of prayer is listening. And sometimes we're so busy that we forget to do that. And so we have time tonight. And we have space for that tonight. So as we sing, I just want to encourage you to reflect on these two questions, right? The first one being, where is God calling you? Is that a huddle? Is that to start a huddle? Is that to be huddled? Is that to start a connect? Right? To plant yourself within a frontier? To start there? Right? And the other thing that I would like us to reflect on is, who is God calling you to? Who are your people of peace? You know, again, I would warn that this is a heavy prayer to pray. You know, it can be so tough. It can be so tough when God gives you his heart for someone. You know, because his heart breaks for each and every person that doesn't yet know his name, that don't yet know that they are loved by God. And you know, I just want to encourage that if that's you tonight and you're not sure yet about what happens after all of this, right? You're not sure yet about, you know, who Jesus is, or, you know, what he's done for you. You know, I just want to encourage you that this is the perfect place. You are so welcome, right? You're in the perfect place to be seeking out answers to those questions, right? And we have a leadership team ready and trained to get alongside you in those questions. And something that I found, my personal testimony, is that it is so much better to ask questions, right? Because it's in the answering of these questions that I find my confidence to step out. To step out for God, to take up on opportunities when I see a person of peace, right? To take time out of my week to actually do something for God, right? When I'm tired, to actually step in and, you know, encourage someone else, even when I feel like I don't have a lot going on, oh, I don't have a lot to give. Ask questions, right? Let God reassure you of His goodness, right? And our leadership team is not here to give that, but they're here to help you find that, right? They're here to be beside you. So we're going to sing this song. Why don't you reflect? Where is God calling you? And who is God calling to? Thanks, man.